Casting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios and streaming live on YouTube, it's ESPN West Palm Super Friday.
New roller coming out.
Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
We are live as we get underway for hour number three of our six-hour extravaganza. You heard what I said. An extravaganza. It is a Super Friday. Spectacular at ESPN 106.3 as we are counting down to kickoff, inching closer. Of course, we'll have that game for you live. But we've got guests, special guests, joining us. Former Super Bowl champions, former NFL stars that came so close in the big game, but didn't get a chance to lock in that ring. Broadcasters, legends. Kevin Harlan's going to join us now, we understand. Is that right?
That is scheduled to appear.
In the 5 o'clock hour. In what is normally known as the home team's cocktail hour. We will do that. Want to let you know that the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix is happening May 3rd through the 5th, and tickets are available now. This might be the hottest, biggest, loudest new party event in South Florida. 3-day event filled with art, music, world-class cuisine. 3 days of world-class racing. Season's first sprint race in the Americas. You do not want to miss the Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix. Mark your calendars now, March 3rd through the 5th. You can choose from a variety of grandstand seating options, each with fantastic track views right in the center of the action. And that includes access to the full campus. Join us for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix May 3rd through the 5th. See what I did there, J-Mart? Can you make a race car noise with your mouth?
No, I like yours, though.
That's a bunch of them going by together.
That's the entire experience.
Yeah. So, like, here's the leaders. And then the pack sounds like this. Tickets available now at FormulaOneCrypto.com. I'm sorry. That is the FormulaOneCrypto.com Miami Grand Prix races. You know, your tickets are available at F1MiamiGP.com. F1MiamiGP.com. Amazing ticket options. I've not gotten a chance the first 2 years to go. John Martin, welcome back. I'm imagining with wife and kids, you haven't either.
I guess you haven't either. Not even close. Yeah, I've not.
That is safe. See, Cat, you've done some racing with your time in Oklahoma. But never a Formula One race, I'm guessing.
Right, yeah. The racing that I was a part of was dirt track racing, doing PA announcing with a guy who really knew what he was doing. And then there was me, who was brought to you by Jimmy's Car Shop.
Good old Jimmy's Car Shop.
Yep.
They still in business?
I think so. I think so.
Do you have any of your old resume tape? Do you have any of your old like radio stuff where it's you at a girls' high school basketball game in Enid, Oklahoma?
I have far too much of it. I'm too lazy to take off the bad stuff on the internet where it lives forever, so it's still there.
Well, if you take away the bad stuff, you'll have no stuff.
You're right.
You're gonna go back and listen to how you sound now and how you sounded then, and you're gonna be like, oh my God. And you're going to want to scrub the internet of everything you did prior to this, because you're coming along great now. You sound like a professional. You know what you're doing. You're interesting. You're funny. You're memorable. But I remember in the very beginning that wasn't necessarily the case. You weren't comfortable yet, but you are getting there.
Yeah, you weren't any of those things at the beginning.
No, none of those things.
even close.
So what would it sound like with you checking in? Because right now you're doing Super Friday here at ESPN 106.3. 6 hours of coverage counting down to the kickoff. With all kinds of celebrity special guests. What did it sound like when you came back from halftime at a girls' basketball game, high school basketball game in Enid, Oklahoma?
Back here at the Big House here for the Class B State Championship, the Omega Lady Raiders taking on the Dale Knights. Christian Catt here, courtside for the Class B State Championship. You know,
Jimmy's Car Shop.
Yeah. I was trying to remember some of the names of the players that were on that team, but I couldn't.
I think that was too good, though. I think that was too good. That wasn't what we were.
That wasn't what it sounded like then.
No, definitely not.
That didn't sound like that. The back here at the Big House, you hear like the squeaking of the shoes in the court because the mic's too loud there.
Super Bowl champion Chris Canty scheduled to join us, and he may hear shortly. We are going to try and get him on at his earliest and first convenience. But J-Mart, how are you with the history of the Super Bowl? How are you with counting backwards or counting forwards every champion since, say, 1980, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, any of that? No?
I am atrocious. I thought, if we're just talking about counting.
counting?
I can count. But, I'm terrible at that game.
All right, let's see what we can do here. What year am I starting on, C-Cat? What year?
We'll start from the most recent. We'll go last year and the last 10 years.
You want to go backwards?
Yeah.
From this past year?
More and more distance between today's date.
Is that not easier for you?
I think it might be easier to start at like 1982 and then go 3-4. And by the way, the game being played in January of 82, 3-4-5, or February of 2002, 3-4-5-6. How many can you do consecutive?
None. I don't know. None? I'm terrible, dude. My memory is gone. None? Yeah, no, I can't. I'm bad. I know the Chiefs won it last year.
1982. I'm going to say it was Niners over Bengals. Correct, incorrect?
You got it.
Wow.
1983. I'm going to say it was Niners over Dolphins.
You said 1983?
Yeah. Is that Marino's first year?
Yeah. No, actually, that's not 83. What am I talking about? 1984 what was 83?
83 was the Redskins-Dolphins.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It was the Redskins-Dolphins. 1984 is going to be the Raiders. Marcus Allen, the Raiders. Was that over Washington?
Blowout.
1985. Wow. 1985 was going to be the Dolphins losing to the Niners.
I can get the next one.
1986 was going to be the Chicago Bears over the New England Patriots.
I can get you that one.
1987 is going to be the Giants over the Broncos. 1988 is going to be the Washington Redskins over the Denver Broncos.
Wow.
1989 is going to be the Niners over the Bengals. 1990 is going to be the Niners over the Broncos.
Wow.
91 is going to be the Giants over Buffalo. I'm killing it right now.
Yeah, man. You're in its own.
Don't let me stop. 92 is going to be Washington over the Buffalo Bills.
I think we got to let you stop.
93 is going to be the Cowboys over the Buffalo Bills. 94 is going to be the Cowboys over the Buffalo Bills.
I think that's where we'll conclude.
And that's where we will conclude. So I screwed up the Dolphin deal because I was thinking Niners there, but in 82, you said it was who?
82, it was the Redskins, and it was the Dolphins.
Yeah. So the Dolphins had a couple cracks there.
Yeah, they did.
And by the way, 84, Marino's only Super Bowl appearance in his second season.
Very disappointing.
You ever get back?
Did whoever get back?
Dan Marino.
How do you not know that?
I was teeing you up. I knew that. We talked about it yesterday.
You're anchoring this coverage. You don't know that? Here in South Florida?
We talked about it on Josh Cohen of the Home Team, which you can hear almost every weekday, yeah. 4 to 6.
Because as much as we believe that right now in the midst of this Chiefs dynasty, and make no mistake about it, they do not need another Super Bowl victory on Sunday to be a dynasty. When you go to 6 consecutive AFC championship games, when you win 4 to advance to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years, you are, in fact, a dynasty, particularly in the modern age of how the draft operates and what free agency is. You are a dynasty. They don't need another one. And as much as we think that Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, is still just 28 years old, will go to many more, we thought the same thing about Dan Marino. They right. thought the same thing. I didn't think it was too young. I knew who he was. But we're like, well, you know, Marino's going to. Dan Marino was expected to have many more trips and many more opportunities and probably to grab some rings. It never happened again. And we talked about it on Josh Cohen of the Home Team, which airs 4 to 6 regularly here on ESPN 106.3. To assume that we're going to have that is kind of foolish on our part, J-Mark, because it feels like he's going to, Mahomes, go back, return, get more. But what Brady did and the Patriots did was special. And that doesn't happen very, in our lifetime, we've not seen a dynasty like that. Over 20 years,
yeah,
two different, because that dynasty had two different eras. You know, they went to 3 and 5 years in the beginning, and they went to 3 and 5 years toward the tail end. We're not going to see something like that again. Even with Mahomes, as great as he is, who may be the greatest quarterback ever, maybe the greatest football player ever, I would today be stunned to say in 13 years from now, wow, they did it like the Patriots. I can't imagine that happening.
I totally agree with you. I think it's harder now than it's ever been to be a dominant force in the NFL, which also makes me think we have to understand the greatness of actually what we're watching.
Right.
The fact that Patrick Mahomes is doing this and doing this at the since day one of his NFL career is astounding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unheard of.
He sat 1 year behind Alex Smith and kind of watched and learned.
Right.
And then they made the change and you thought, they're making the change for the kid out of Texas Tech. Like, Alex Smith is a serviceable quarterback. They're winning games. Why would you do that? Well, the word out of camp was, this kid's a Ferrari. Remember Lewis Riddick saying, I'm telling you, he's different. He's that guy. Sure enough, he was that and a whole lot more. And we talked about it yesterday on the home team between 4 and 6 and the piece of sound we got from Marcus Spears. Because I always talk about Mahomes being special in that he's so calm. He's so comfortable. He does things you're not supposed to. Throws across the field, throws from his back foot, mechanically those things. But he plays the game like a Harlem Globetrotter, the way he passes the ball. And there's an aspect of many of these plays that you're like he's 10 yards down the field and he holds the ball out in the defender's face like he's going to toss it and they fall for it. Or he does lateral the ball. Beyond all that, what Marcus Spears said, and that I backed up, and if we got the sound, let's go ahead and take a listen to it in a second. It's not just the physical. It's not just the athletic gift. It's not just the calm and the comfort. It's about the fact that Patrick Mahomes seems to be able to process faster than anybody. He seems to recognize what it is, process that information, and react in a manner that we've not seen another player do. Not any other quarterback to which allows you then to play the game like you're in the Matrix, in slow motion, bending out of the way of a bullet flying past. Take a listen to Marcus Spears on how he explained the Patrick Mahomes difference between the ears.
We talk about all of the great players. You know what it looks like when Patrick Mahomes is playing? It looks like all of the other people that we have these conversations about. It looks like he's playing against people that don't process it as fast as he does. Mm-hmm. It looks easy to him. And I was watching that Ravens game, and because I thought about this when Mike T just brought up how he doesn't have any turnovers. He doesn't have any turnovers because the game looks completely different to Patrick Mahomes than everybody else out there. It's going way faster for everybody else out there than it's going for him. He's managed in his 7th year in the NFL to slow this game down at a pace where no one can speed him up. Not a blitz. Not a player that's staring down on the opposing side. Not even conditions. I mean, we talking about 2 playoff games that was at 0 degrees damn near. Mm-hmm. That he went and just handled his business. So I think we attach that moniker to a lot of guys that we consider to be in this great situation. Whatever you call ice water in your veins, or he doesn't freak under pressure, or none of that. When I see Patrick Mahomes play right now, when I saw him play, it spoke volumes in Baltimore, especially with how good that team was. The game is going so much slower for him than everybody else on the football field, and you can absolutely tell it.
I've seen special players at this position in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s, the teens, and the 20s. Do the math. 80s, 90s, 2000s, teens, and 20s. I know we're only, 3 seasons in to that last decade, but that's 5 different decades. Mm-hmm. The 80s, special players, calm, comfortable, playmakers. Joe Montana, as I mentioned before. Then the 90s, there was a few guys, several guys, guys that won it, guys that didn't win it, Marino, Elway. Elway, you heard when I counted those Super Bowls from 82 to 95. Broncos. He didn't get one until 98.
Losses, yeah.
He didn't get one until 98. Didn't get one. And then the second year, 99, riding off into the sunset. What Mahomes does and how he plays the game, it's very shovel pass, kind of tweet this way, kind of. There's a calmness. And it's almost like the old rules don't apply. It's almost like you said, hey, you're a great athlete. You're super smart. You're ridiculously intelligent. You process very quickly. You've never seen the, he plays it like he's never seen the game of football. In other words, there's lots of ways you can throw it forward and backward. There's lots of ways that you can pitch it. There's lots of ways that you can run. He just plays the game differently. And what I never put into words that Marcus Spears did is the processing. J-Mart, you remember we played Toon Dorks on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this on the home team. Hearing just a snippet of a pop song, you know, and recognizing me. Stop, Josh. That is Come On Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners. I'm tremendous at it. But JMP blows me away. He processes it faster.
Right.
His brain, and it, Patrick Mahomes, as special as he is, we might need to pay more attention to the fact that his brain is different. He processes, recognizes, different than anybody.
Yeah.
Including the Tom Brady's of the world.
I don't disagree. You know where it really like jumped out to me how different he was actually earlier this season when, because you watch the NFL, you know, there comes a point in the season where it is really difficult. Players are struggling. It's a grind. Yep. Everybody's in pain. And this season was a perfect example of that for the Kansas City Chiefs.
For sure.
They really struggled. They dropped a lot of passes. They struggled in a lot of different ways on the offensive side.
More than anybody.
Patrick Mahomes, though, did not.
No.
He was there. He was putting the ball on the money every single game. He was steady throughout.
Yeah.
It was like that part of the season never affected him at all. Yeah. And if you're processing things faster and things are easier for you, that makes sense.
It's frustrating. And you saw him get frustrated with the officials. Some go crazy on the play. Marquez, was it Scandling?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was
The Kadarius Toney offside play.
Tony being offside on the lateral.
Oh, yeah. He went nuts.
That's frustration of the season. That's the frustration of, and when you're as good as he is and as smart as he is and you play the level that the game at that different level, it's frustrating to deal with regular mortals. It's frustrating.
Right, exactly.
To have to cope with mortals. See, Kat, I said it on the air, and I know we discussed it. This is the most impressive Chiefs run of all of them because, well, they had to go on the road. Well, they had to go on the road again. Well, they were underdogs in both those games, and now a third consecutive time an underdog, which has never happened in the entire Mahomes era. Never were they an underdog three times. In fact, they've only played three games prior to this postseason where he regular season games where he was an underdog. 9-3 is an underdog overall. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, this is the most impressive run yet. Game one, wild card, 25 below zero. That's the great equalizer. That takes away home
field. Absolutely.
That takes away who's the better defense. That takes away the... This is remarkable. And I know they're a two-point dog. And they were a 2.5-point dog in Buffalo. And they were a 4-point dog in Baltimore. If you are betting against the Chiefs on Sunday, part of me thinks that's wishful thinking more than it is what you believe will happen. It's what you want to happen. Part of me is I'm tired of these guys. I'm sick of these guys. I'm over these guys. The Taylor Swift and the Travis I'm over it. Because if you remove all of the bias and hopes and wishes and tiredness and fatigue, who really would you back? The team that's been there, done that, been there, almost did it, been there, done it, with the quarterback, who's this guy, or the team in San Francisco that just barely escaped the Niners, that just barely escaped the Lions, and who's got a quarterback who's playing really well, but man, those lights are bright, and there's a lot of eyeballs, and as Bryant McKinney said, all the flash bulbs are popping, and halftime is way too long and too much thinking, and the gravity of the moment is such. If you removed what you hope happens and what you're tired of, how do you not back the Kansas City Chiefs as a 2-point dog on Sunday?
Yeah, we look at Patrick Mahomes has a full season worth of playoff games in his repertoire already, in his resume already. Brock Purdy, that's not the case. You talk about earlier in the week on Josh Cohen and the home team how winning Super Bowls is a different thing than winning any other game. Just the actual process of winning that football game is different than an NFC championship game, AFC championship game. We've seen Pat Mahomes do this. We have yet to see Brock Purdy do this.
It's just, again, don't confuse in life what you want to happen with what you believe will happen. Because I bet against the Chiefs in Buffalo in Baltimore. And I got a hard time doing it again.
Yeah.
I got a hard, I really have a hard, because I think I've seen enough.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, the old expression, when somebody shows you, you know, who they are, believe them. When they show you, it's not who they tell you. Because people, when people show you who they are, believe them. And they seem to be someone in that sense that, okay, we get it. It's 25 below zero, the great equalizer, and you guys handle your business. Miami can't. Step up in competition. You go to Buffalo. Pressure. We get it. There's a missed field goal that would have caused overtime. Still handled your business. Then you go to Baltimore and you say, okay, guys, that's what you want to do? Fine. We can beat you in the air as well. So be it. So I think I know who they are. And they're not who I thought they were in August. And they're not who I thought they were in September. They're a much better football team. I was wrong about these Chiefs. I said, this is a team that maybe doesn't win the division. I can't imagine them getting very far in the post because nothing lasts forever. All things come to an end. Can't stay at the top forever. The movie Casino. All things come to an end. The Patriot dynasty, the Patriot way. But man, I'd be shocked if they're not either winning inside of 5 minutes on Sunday or when it's all said and done, the Kansas City Chiefs have gone back to back, the first team to do so since the Patriots way back in the way back.
So I picked the Niners before the playoffs, but since then I 100% agree with you. Coming into this game, I'm absolutely picking the Chiefs because I just Mahomes is going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out.
Yeah, it's an intriguing matchup. It really is, and I'm looking forward to the game. Normally, I have a real good feeling prior to Super Bowl of who's going to win and how. I'm not always right. In fact, more times than not, I think I'm wrong. But at least I think I know. This time I really don't know. Normally I know. Normally people on the street ask me. Normally people at events ask me. And I tell them exactly who, what, why. And then sometimes it's right. More times it's wrong. This time, I have no freaking idea. I have no freaking idea how this plays out. But I go back to which just seems the more likely outcome. That Mahomes, as you said, figures it out. Or that these Niners and this kid Purdy figures it out. I'm not sure. Still to come, special guests, including Amber Wilson from ESPN Radio. Amber and Ian, she'll join us coming up in a little bit. Plus, Chris Carlin, who you normally hear about this time of day. Pierre Garçon is going to join us. He played in that Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts and the New Orleans Saints. Didn't go their way, and so he can tell you what it's like from the other side of that. And many, many more. We'll get all that coming up shortly. First, though, I want to remind everybody about the fact that Bud's Chicken and Seafood is taking good care of us on this fried day. Crispy, crunchy, juicy, golden brown. It is fried perfection. They were voted best fried chicken in Palm Beach County many, many times, including this past year. The greatest chicken tenders of your life because guess what, J-Mart? They're made of tenderloin. USDA tenderloin. All the sides, all the dipping sauces. And for a limited time, the family-owned and operated Bud's Chicken and Seafood with six locations in Palm Beach County has Seafood Fest in full effect. Giant butterfly coconut shrimp. They make those so good. Oyster, fried oyster dinners. Crab cake dinners. Single crab cakes available as well. Crinkle cut fries. Creamy mac and cheese with hot sauce, coleslaw, potato salad, macaroni salad. If you're not hungry listening to what I'm saying, then you might be dead. Go to budschicken.com. Order for delivery. Order to pick it up. Order ahead to dine in and sit down. Made with better stuff, the quality you can taste, and cook to order. Budschicken.com. Bud's Chicken and Seafood. The American dream. And by the way, for your Sunday plans, it's all you need. There's a bunch of Buds on the table. Buds, chicken and seafood.
Yum, yum.
J-Mart's laughing at you. Not terrible. Not terrible. It is our Super Friday special presentation here on ESPN 106.3.
Heating and air conditioning.
It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
Broadcasting live from our Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square Studios in the heart of the square, formerly City Place, now the square, Rosemary Square, Rosemary Avenue, ESPN West Palm headquarters, brand new studios, brand new offices, and we have an audience that is live worldwide with us on our YouTube channel, ESPN West Palm Play on YouTube, as well listening on all smart speakers by simply telling it, play ESPN West Palm. More guests on the way, courtesy thereof, from Las Vegas, including a former Niner that is a Disney movie. His life story, his career is a Disney movie, and all it needs right now is that happy ending. We'll explain when he joins us coming up. Still to come, Chris Canty at some point may join us, but Amber Wilson will shortly. Also, Chris Carlin from Carlin vs. Joe. Pierre Garçon, the former Washington Redskin 49er, and of course, Indianapolis Colt from John I. Leonard. DeJuan Morgan, who played at Suncoast, who was drafted by the Chiefs, played for the Chiefs as well. He's going to join us. Michael Lombardi, who is a freaking legend, who's got 3 Super Bowl rings, who's written the new book, Football Done Right, setting the record straight on coaches, players, and the history of the NFL. And you see him every week on the Pat McAfee Show, as well as other gaming outlets. The great Michael Lombardi will join us coming up. Yeah, J-Mart, you're killing time with us here today for some reason, too. We're glad to have you.
Having fun, man. Glad to be here on Super Friday.
Super Friday at ESPN 106.3. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It just feels really super.
It is. It's super duper. Do you know how the name Super Bowl came about, C-Cat? We know you're kind of young.
No, I don't.
You don't know the backstory. Once upon a time, back when toys were simple, there was a toy called the Super Ball, and it was a rubber ball that apparently was super. Whammo was a company that made Frisbees and rubber bouncy balls. So it was just a rubber bouncy ball, but the way the rubber was constructed, it would really, so Lamar Hunt, who is like the father of the AFC, his family, now the heirs thereof, son Clark runs the Kansas City Chiefs. The kids wanted this Super Bowl they saw on TV. It's a $2 toy. It's a freaking rubber ball. Well, something about Super Bowl banging around the house and the kids playing with Super Bowl, instead of the NFL championship game, he said, super is a big word now. Super's kind of cool. And we got bowl games like the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl. So this can be the Super Bowl. Super Bowl was born from stealing the name from the rubber ball. Whammo should tell the NFL you can't use it.
Yeah, the NFL tells us we can't use it.
The NFL tells us we can't use anything. We can't say, well, no, you can say, like, we can talk Super Bowl, but you can't attach partners and advertisers to it. You know what I'm saying? I can say the Super Bowl on Sunday, it's Super Bowl week.
Could you say Super Ball instead of Super Bowl?
I could.
So let's just call it the Super Bowl.
All right. So Super Bowl coverage.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Presented by.
Super Bowl Sunday is not bad, actually.
Super Bowl. I would say Super Salad Bowl. Soup comes in a bowl. Yeah, salad good. Comes in a bowl. I had a whole list of ways I was getting around this years ago. Yeah. The NFL is a stickler for that. They've registered everything. You know, Super Sunday, Super this, da da da. And so Whammo, or heirs to the Whammo Frisbee throne in fortune. Why don't you bring down the NFL and be like, you can't use Super, dog. We know where it came from. You took it from us.
Yeah, you got your flowers earlier today for Radio Rosemary Square.
Radio Rosemary Square. You got to say it that way, though. Radio Rosemary Square.
I thought it was better come March Madness last year when you said it was Final Florida. That wasn't trademarked by the NCAA, of course. That was a good one.
Final Floor, you can do, because it is Final Floor. It's a Final Floor. It's the last court they'll use. And Final Florida, because we had Miami and FAU in it as well. But I've had great ideas. Mostly bad ideas. Mostly bad to terrible ideas, but I've had great ideas. I mean, over 30 years, there's been a couple.
Yeah, no, I feel like you're the guy that has good ideas and doesn't do anything with them.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right about that. Yeah.
He's 1,000% correct.
Don't you have a website? Haven't you owned a website that you were going to build forever?
No.
It was a good idea, too, I thought.
When the big three got assembled in Miami, I bought the right to MiamiHate.com.
Right.
And then you take the Heat logo and you just reverse the A and the E to Hate, put the A up front, put the E in the back, and Miami Hate. And then I was lazy with it and did nothing with it. I was going to sell it to Mark Cuban.
Mm.
But then LeBron left, so the website became worthless.
Yeah.
We come back. The fantastic Amber Wilson, who you hear nationally with Ian Fitzsimmons, 7 to 10 p.m., she joins us coming up next with some insight into this game and the guests and all that she's spoken to. It is Super Friday, as you heard, as we count down to Super Bowl. What a ball it'll be on ESPN 106.3.
It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
Because nothing says Super Bowl like Elvis Presley mashed up with Britney Spears Toxic.
I didn't know what you were thinking when I put this in, man. I hate this song.
I think it's tremendous. Britney Toxic. With the Little King, Elvis Presley on top. This is fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, our coverage continues. It is Super Friday at ESPN 106.3 as we are live worldwide on the ESPN app and live worldwide on any smart speaker simply by telling it to play ESPN West Palm. Our next guest you hear, weeknights 7 to 10 on ESPN 106.3 in South Florida, ESPN nationally, throughout the country, everywhere, because she is the host of Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, and she's also a South Florida staple and legend to broadcast, and it's a pleasure finally to get Amber Wilson on the air with us because we've been Twitter friends for years, and I've been a fan, but we've never actually, I don't believe, ever done this where we've communicated on the air, have we?
We have not. Legend. I mean, go on, Josh. That is too kind. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Boy, you had to come up this past spring and summer. You were on every platform. First Take, it seemed, Get Up, hosting this, hosting that. This was like one of those years, I got to imagine for you, 2023, where it felt like finally all these things came together, and now I get to be doing exactly what I want to be doing. Is that a safe, fair assumption to make?
Yeah, it is. It's been a really long journey. I mean, you know how this business is. It's been a long journey, lots of twists and turns, and I wouldn't change any of it for the world. So being at ESPN, it's definitely cool getting to do so many things. I mean, the bread and butter for me will always be sports radio. My goal was to have, you know, a named show on ESPN Radio. I accomplished that goal. But getting to do First Take and all that other stuff that you named is so fun also.
Yeah. It was quite a year for you. Congratulations on all that. Well earned, well deserved. With that said, you've been a South Florida radio and on-air personality for a very long time. And if you remember, a lot of us do. A lot of those folks that used to do stuff with, alongside, when LeBron came to town in 2010, that seemed to. And I know what it did for the Heat, and I know what it did for a lot of South Florida sports, Miami sports. But I look at, like, the next 10 years of ESPN and, like, does Sedano wind up where he does? Does Lebatard and Stu Gatz wind up where they do? Do all those guys, Pablo Torre, etc., do they wind up, if LeBron doesn't come to Miami, do all those cats you know and used to work with, do they wind up nationally or no?
I don't know. I think that they would be very honest and also credit that to certainly helping them get where they were. Maybe it would have taken them longer. It absolutely, from a national perspective, put Miami on the map, which sounds ridiculous because obviously Miami's a very, very large market. But you guys know, I mean, right, it's not necessarily the best sports market in the country.
Right.
And
right,
when LeBron came to town, that kind of changed. It became the center of the sports universe for a time being. It absolutely catapulted everybody's career. I know Jonathan Zaslow is very vocal about that. He's very transparent about that having helped him. I think Sedano is as well. Levitard, I've heard talk about it before. Mm-hmm. It ended up helping all of us. I mean, I wasn't in radio at the time, but I hosted a TV show for years on CBS4 with Stu Gatz. And that was right before Stu Gatz made the transition from local to national. Right. And, you know, it helped all. I mean, it really did. Just the buzz around the city, the eyeballs on the city. It brought the attention to the people that were already doing really, really good work in the South Florida Tri-County area. And I don't know if that attention, they would have been just as good, but I don't know if they would have been seen by as many higher ups and people in the right place.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget, like, this whole influx, a whole generation of ESPN and multicultural, by the way, multicultural, lots of Hispanic and Latino presence that came from Miami that was all part of that LeBron's here and there they go. Amber Wilson joins us on Super Friday here on ESPN 106.3. And remember, we are also simulcasting, now breaking out the new ESPN West Palm Play on YouTube, where you can watch all this as it happens in real time. Amber, you're a trial attorney, as most people know by now, which means you're perfectly suited to debate with these people on television and on radio. I would imagine that it becomes fun for you when you realize that someone just gave you bullets that you can now fire back at them in debate, whether it's Ian or whether it's back at First Take, where now it's like, see, this is why I went to law school. This is why I can lock in right now. And I can, because you, let's be honest, you're a little smarter than the rest of us. So it's fun for you to get to piece us apart.
It is very, very fun. I don't know if Ian thinks it's as fun on Amber and Ian, but I think it's amazing and great fun. Obviously, everybody on First Take, when I'm on that show, it's why I love doing that show so much, because everybody's there for it, and they're obviously for the debate, so they're ready for it.
Sure.
I've always loved debating. I mean, I've loved arguing since I was a kid. I was raised by two lawyers. My grandparents were lawyers. Everybody in my family, it feels like, were lawyers. So, we were healthy debating stuff when I was 5 years old around the dinner table. It was just sort of how I grew up. Sports was a huge part of that. None of us played sports in my family, but we watched the hell out of them, and we were huge football fans, huge Gators football fans. I went to just about every Gators game my dad would take me to since the time I could walk. I know. It is what it is, right? But, the debate aspect and kind of the sports debate aspect has always been there. And then it wasn't why I went to law school, but being able to marry that with also the sports broadcasting, once I did get my law degree, I was amazed at how much having my law degree ended up helping me in sports broadcasting, even though that was not at all my motivation for going and getting my law degree.
And you look at two of the greatest to do it, Howard Cosell and Stephen A. Smith, who are very reminiscent of one another. I've talked to Stephen A. about this, where how much of the brand that you developed into this guy is Cosell, because it sounds very much like a modern day sort of version. Lawyers, first and foremost, like yourself. I grew up in a household, single parent household. My father was an attorney. And then my sister, who became my legal guardian, she's just a couple years older than me. She became an attorney. My father became city judge. My sister then became city judge. She now sits on the bench my father once presided on. So in my household growing up, if you want to argue, you better have a case. And you better have your ducks in a row. And how useful that is when we get on the air is to, here's why, here's what. It's like exhibit A, exhibit B, exhibit C. No more questions, Your Honor.
Yes. You know, me and my husband are both attorneys. And my husband's already doing that with our 4.5-year-old son. And he'll be like, well, no, but you need to give me a better case. You need to give me a better reason that you should get that toy. And I need better logic than that and whatnot. And he's already walking him through it. And I always tell my husband, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know. If we train him this young, he might be running circles around us by the time he's 8 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to prepare, because when he's 8, 9, 10, he might have points you guys can't counter. And there you go. Let's get to Sunday in this game, Amber. We know the Chiefs being this dynasty, I believe, no need to win another one to prove as such. 6 consecutive AFC championship games, 4 Super Bowls in 5 years in that span. This is the first year they ever had to play a road playoff game. The Niners on the other side. We know the weapons. We know the pieces they have. Part of the question mark beyond just Brock Purdy and being his second season and if this moment will be too big is Shanahan and his judgment in the big moments, whether or not he calls plays smartly, as we know what happened 7 years ago with Atlanta as offensive coordinator in the Patriot game. But for you, as you've talked about this the last week and a half or 2 weeks now, and you've broken this down, what is something people maybe aren't talking enough about and you think they should either recognize, realize, or pay my attention to? What would that be, Amber?
Well, it would not just what Kyle Shanahan did as the OC of the Falcons, but also the blowing lead 4 years ago. Last time the 49ers were in this situation, what he cannot do is blow a lead. He could lose this game, but he cannot be leading and then blow a lead the way that he has famously in his last couple Super Bowls. I think that the storyline that I haven't heard talked about very much that I just think is so, so cool from sort of just a human interest perspective and a family perspective is that we have two father-son duos in this game where Mike Shanahan, obviously a Super Bowl winning head coach, his son, Kyle Shanahan, could become that as well. Mike Shanahan was an OC for the 49ers when he won a Super Bowl, whereas Ed McCaffrey was his player. Ed McCaffrey was one of his wide receivers on that Super Bowl winning team. Ed McCaffrey won three Super Bowls as a player. So he won Super Bowls for the San Francisco 49ers. His son, Christian McCaffrey, is about to be in a position to win a Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers. I just think it's very cool. We have father-son duos, obviously, in NFL. The history, not a ton of them. I think something like eight that were players that have both won Super Bowls. But for them to be doing it on the same team that their fathers won Super Bowls is unbelievably unusual and so, so cool. And then to be doing it together, for them to both have that shared experiences, the fathers as they're looking for their sons when they were, you know, also in San Francisco together, that's just such a neat human interest story that I haven't really heard many people talk about.
That's a valid point. Yeah, we haven't gone too much into that. I guess, you know, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, they suck a lot of air out of this game. The Brock Purdy storyline sucks a lot of air out of this game. The fact that Shanahan blew a 10-point fourth-quarter lead 4 years ago in Miami at LIV, and we all know 7 years ago, 28-3 in that spot. Maybe there hasn't been enough discussion about this side of it. Amber Wilson, who hosts Amber and Ian 7 to 10 on ESPN Radio nationally, obviously, and here on ESPN 106.3, she joins us on Super Friday. Brock Purdy, listen, we love football. And we love storylines. And if this kid went two picks earlier, it's not a story. If he goes one pick earlier, it's not a story. But he's Mr. Irrelevant. He's the last guy picked. This whole conversation about game manager, game changer, that's a very Cam Newton conversation. Why is it a bad thing to be considered a game manager? That means that you're just handling your business. As Marino said, I'm not doing anything to lose the game. What is this era that we live in which game manager is a bad thing, like for fighters being a journeyman is as well? What's that about?
I mean, it's pure stupidity. I've even heard some of the greatest quarterbacks talk about how the greatest quarterbacks learn how to be game managers in the moment that they need to be game managers. That you can't always get out there and always try to play hero ball. So even the greatest ones that have ever done it will talk about being game managers when the moment is right. But even if he's nothing but a game manager, which seems a little ridiculous after the comeback that we saw against the Lions, but even if what does it matter? I mean, why do we care? You know, I hear the system quarterback thing throwing out Brock Purdy a lot. Okay, maybe it's Kyle Shanahan's system. I don't know. Why do I care? He's playing in Kyle Shanahan's system. That's the only system I've seen him in. So if he's great in that system, what does it matter? Like, we need him to go to another team and play in another system before? The whole thing is just so silly to me. If he's a great quarterback on the San Francisco 49ers, then he's a great quarterback. Who cares? Full stop. He's a great quarterback.
The reality is, in our society, the only thing we enjoy more than assigning blame, it seems, is taking away credit. We love to play blame game. That's why we don't ask Twitter questions about who's to credit for the win. It's who's to blame for the loss. We love to take away credit and discredit and say it's not on him. He's not doing it. But what difference does it make if, in fact, this is what the idea being, well, and you could plug anybody in. If that's the case, why didn't Trey Lance do it? If that's the case, why didn't Jimmy Garoppolo do it? If that were to be the case. It's weird to me, Amber, that in this matchup, and we know these are two teams that went different paths. The Niners being the number one overall seed and the Chiefs having to play a freezing 25 below zero game against Miami that could have been the equalizer, going on the road, being an underdog consecutive weeks at Buffalo, obviously handling, going to Baltimore, obviously handling. Now they're a third consecutive postseason game, an underdog. It feels like people believe the Chiefs will win, but people are wishing and hoping, because they're tired of them, they lose. What's your sense on the public feeling on this game? Because the point spread doesn't make a whole lot of sense if all the experts are picking the Chiefs to win, yet they're a 2-point underdog.
I think that the way that the odds makers in Vegas is operating and the way that the rest of us, or most of us, are operating in the real world are kind of different here, right? Because I think what's happening to the rest of us, or most of us, because most people I have spoken to are taking the Chiefs. And I think it's because we're all just scared to pick against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. We're all just scared to pick against that team because it seems like a fool's errand. And also, they made a fool of us for picking against them coming off of a regular season that was very mediocre for this Chiefs team and an offense that was struggling at times this season. And yet here we are, they're back in another Super Bowl, and it feels like, oh, of course, you know, we're the fools. Of course they're back here. And I think that that's sort of an emotional thing about the Chiefs. We're just like, oh, all right, fine, we're not going to pick against you again. Whereas the odd makers are looking at these teams on paper, looking at what these teams did all throughout the season. The reality is, 49ers are a better team, right? The 49ers should win the game. They are a better offense this season. I know it seems crazy to say because Patrick Mahomes is on the other team. The Chiefs' defense is obviously great, but that's not normally what we're used to seeing when we're used to seeing Kansas City win Super Bowls or win AFC championships. And so, really, on paper, I understand what the odds makers are doing. The 49ers are 1.5 points favorites. You know, obviously, on ESPN Bet, obviously, a very close game any way you cut it. And it should be a close game. You were talking about Kyle Shanahan's best offense, statistically, against Andy Reid's best defense during his tenure there, statistically. Yeah. And that's going to be a hell of a matchup. And we should get a great game. And I am definitely one of those people who's apprehensive about picking against the Chiefs. But absolutely, I'm rooting for the 49ers because I'm just sick of it.
you're with America. By the way, I picked against the Chiefs in Buffalo and in Baltimore, and I'm not sure I can do it a third consecutive go around. The problem is, once I get on the train, now they'll lose, and they'll beat me both ways three times like Pete Carroll always used to. On Sunday, what is something Amber Wilson will either make, will buy, will have ordered in, something that she has to have for her Super Sunday food and beverage enjoyment? What do you got? What do you have to have?
We are normally a pizza and wings kind of household. You know, keep it pretty basic. Pizza is my all-time favorite food. It is what it is, and I love wings. So those are staples for me. I know it's not the most unusual or exciting thing, but that's just staple Super Bowl food to me.
Fair enough. Chicago deep dish, Detroit-style pan, or just regular New York thin crust?
Chicago deep dish. That's a cake. That's not a pizza. What are you doing? It's obviously New York-style.
Wow. I'm from New York, and I'm going to be honest. Real Chicago deep dish, better than New York-style pizza. It is. It's a meal. Yeah, it is.
Nope.
It's cake.
It's a pizza cake. It's a meal and a bite. It's not pizza. Pizza is New York. Pizza's from, New York style, that's how to do pizza.
Counselor, we shall agree to disagree. Amber Wilson, host of Amber and Ian, 7 to 10 weeknights on ESPN nationally, and of course, here on ESPN 106.3. Thank you for the time. Pleasure to finally do this with you. Have a great time this weekend. Enjoy that thin, average New York style pizza.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Kristen.
Appreciate you. Amber Wilson taking time today, nice enough to join us on our Super Friday. Jamar, you used to do like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cocktails.
Oh, yeah, I did.
That was your Super Bowl thing.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
Yeah, that's rum chata and Fireball.
Yeah. And delicious.
Then, what else are you using? How else you make that? Rum chata, Fireball. No, but there's got to be like a mixer of some sort.
No, that's it. It's rum chata and Fireball. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, dude, it's delicious.
It's pretty potent.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Just that. You can take two, what are they called, nips? Like the mini liquor bottles?
Oh,
you
just
take, put them right down the gullet at the same time and make the cocktail in your mouth.
Wow. Okay. Did he say what I thought he said? Yeah, I mean, it's about nips and
like you're going to mix it all. Mix it in the belly.
Do you, young man, do you. Coming up in just a few minutes, the host of Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, a dude that sat down with us from the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl, and a dude who knows gambling and sports betting as well as I do over the last 30 years of doing it in different forms and fashions.
I think we got in trouble last time I joined the show as well. because of some glitter when he came down to South Florida when he stepped to our table.
That's
right. We got to make sure he didn't get in trouble or not.
Yeah, there was. What was with the glitter, by the way?
The glittery football and glittery star. I don't know.
Yeah, there was some kind of glitter, and it got like on his face, and it looked like he was at the strip club.
Yeah,
yeah, is what it looked like. So we'll get an update on the state of Chris Collins' marriage. We'll get an update on that when he joins us coming up here. First, though, another reminder, St. Lucie Battery and Tire, the home of honest, reliable service, and they've been such since 1970. They are the American dream. If you love America, and a lot of you profess that you do, if you love America, I'm telling you, you are doing business with St. Lucie Battery and Tire. Why? Because they're family-owned and operated. Why? Because they're the American dream. Started with one location, now got 17. They still operate and own all of them. Why? Because they help the community and our people protect our second biggest investment. They help our vehicles run better, last longer, be safer, and save us money. That's how. Batteries for your vehicles. Batteries, not just cars and trucks and SUVs, but batteries for golf carts, ATVs, side-by-sides, boats, jet skis, tires for all your vehicles. They're recognized all the time is a top independent tire dealer. Oil changes that you can get cheaper and faster than the dealership where you even bought your vehicle. Plus, major, minor, service, repairs, all the above. 17 locations, I mentioned, from West Palm through the Treasure Coast. They are one of those pillars of the community. They are a great family, and they are a great family-owned business. They are St. Lucie Battery and Tire. SLBT.com, SLBT.com. Pop in, or make an appointment online. The home of honest, reliable service since 1970. When we return, a little reset, according to Hard Rock Bet, of the lines for this game. We got some propositional wagers. For the first time ever in Florida, we can bet this game legally and propositions and same game parlays. So it's a celebration. Thank you, Hard Rock Bet, for making that happen. Meanwhile, the jingle is now stuck in J. Mart's head. Hard Rock is legal in Florida. Sticky like that. Yeah, it is. It's our Super Friday. We continue on here on ESPN 106.3.